You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome to episode 5 of The Devy Show, presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your co-host, Skip Newton, and with me, as always, is Dwight Peoples. Dwight, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing fantastic, man. Great. How you doing? Oh, you already said how you're doing. Anyways, I'm great.
yeah,
trying to get the John Love level. Let's go, people. What are we waiting for? Let's go.
I don't even know if I can fake that amount of excitement and enthusiasm like John. John is, you know, one of the best. Everybody loves him. So shouts out to you, John. You are the man. Loving you and Matt as you get into your rookie prospect profiles. Of course, the focus of this podcast is to focus on Devy player value. We will review trades, risers and fallers, draft strategy, and more. On today's show, we're going to be moving on to the wide receivers and then hopefully get to some Devy trades at the end. They're starting to pile up, so eventually we will get to those. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a 5-star rating and check out our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. All right, as stated, value check on the wide receivers, both 2022 rookie. I picked out like the top four, and then our top Devy wide receivers that are currently ranked on SI.com Devy rankings. Of course, that is going to be continuously updated as players start to break out and then the incoming freshmen come in. But for now, we'll go through the guys that are up there at the moment. I'm going to run through, just like I did last week with the running backs, run through the top 24 current dynasty wide receivers, just so the listeners get an idea of where we're at. Number one, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. We've got Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, Adams, Lamb, Diggs, Metcalf, Cooper Kupp coming in at number 9, DJ Moore rounding out the top 10, Terry McLaurin, Waddle, Cooper, Hopkins, and Deebo Samuel at 15, Chris Godwin, T. Higgins, Keenan Allen, Ridley, Deontay Johnson is number 20, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, Mike Evans, and then Pittman Jr. finishes off at number 24. So that would be your wide receiver ones and twos in a 12-team league. Let's start it off with a lot of people's wide receiver one in the rookie class out of Arkansas, Treylon Burks. He's a beast. He's my wide receiver one, although the gap between him and the next guy is fairly small for me, and they're definitely in the same tier. Where do you have Treylon Burks on this list?
Yeah, I struggled with this one, but I think right around the 10 spot, I think, is a sweet spot for him. I think he's going to be, you know, he's definitely not a clone of Metcalf, but he has the ability to be that type of receiver in an offense. Athletic size. I mean, he's like, what, 6'3", 230, and he's going to probably run like a 4.45. Maybe even quicker. I mean, he's so elusive and strength. You know, he can go up and get the ball and mosses people. He's just dominant. He's just a crazy dominant receiver. I don't want to put him over Kupp because I think what Kupp did this year was insane, and he's going to do it for a couple more years with Stafford. I don't care that he's 29 or 28, whichever. I never know how old he is. So right in that area. So I would put him right after Kupp, right before DJ Moore, definitely before McLaurin, Waddle. So that's right about where I got him. What do you think, Skip?
That is precisely where I have him. He is top 10 for me. And I was going to say I would put him ahead of DJ Moore because I think that Burks absolutely has that alpha receiver potential. I mean, he just continuously got better every one of his 3 years at Arkansas. You know, he consistently averaged over 16 yards per catch. Receptions went up, yards went up, touchdowns went up. So it was just that natural progression. You know, if I'm sitting on Cooper Kupp, you're coming off, you know, what's probably his absolute ceiling, right? That's the best he's going to do. He's not going to duplicate that. boy, I'd be really tempted if I could get a Burks plus plus, right? You know, a big trade. That would be a nice way to get younger and add a ton on. You know, he's getting up there in that age where people start to get nervous, even though he's not that old, but still, yeah, I have him right there at the 9-10 as well. All right, the second guy on the list and the second guy on my list, that's Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. I said I have these two guys on the same tier. They are, for me, tier one by themselves. So I'm going to put them very similarly ranked. How about you?
Yeah, right after Burks. Yeah, right. I have no problem with going right before Moore, McLaurin, Waddle. Same exact spot. I love it. Wilson's explosiveness, ball tracking, his route running, how versatile he is. He's just another guy. It's a complete package. Not quite as physically dominant as Burks, but I think he's probably a little more polished and can do just about everything. He can line up in the slot, line up outside. So Wilson's right there. I think he's going to be, I mean, like you said, the tier, there is a razor thin break between those two. So I'll stick him right there, 10 and 11.
Yep, I agree. Top 10 as well. And you said a lot of the things that I liked about him. When the more I watch him, the more I like him. And he just feels like a safe prospect. Like Burks might have that potential to be, you know, just this alpha crazy rookie wide receiver that goes nuts because he just takes over the league. You know, I'm not saying he's going to, but he has that potential. But I think he might also have a little bit more of a learning curve depending on where he falls and how the teams use him. With Garrett Wilson, I think he is the safest prospect, where he could even get into a landing spot that we don't really like, and he's not going to fall for me. I like him that much because I just think he's that complete of a wide receiver. When you think about, you know, the best guys at the wide receiver position, where they just do what wide receivers do to get open, and they're complete, like you said, they move all around. That's where I put Garrett Wilson. You know, Diggs, Jefferson, Amari Cooper always gets a lot of praise for his route running, those kinds of things. I mean, they just create separation, great hands. Devontae Adams is another one. You know, they're not necessarily excelling because they just physical specimens, or, you know, super athletic, you know, like a Tyreek Hill. It's just, they're that good at the position. That's what I like about Wilson. All right. The next guy on the list is a little bit more of a physical specimen, coming out of USC, Drake London. Course, super tall and was putting up ridiculous stats before the injury. The injury does not bother me. It does not affect his draft stock for me, unless something weird comes out and, you know, between now and the draft. Yeah, where do you have him?
Now he's a little bit harder for me. I put him at 17 because I like that range there of what he could be. I think I like what we've seen from Waddle more, McLaurin as well. Nuke is hopefully back to, but I have trouble putting London above Debo, Higgins, and Godwin was where I was struggling. I have no problem putting him above Cooper and Hopkins. Does that sound weird, even though they're above him? But I like the younger guys. What Debo did this year was, I mean, obviously his ranking is going to go up throughout the offseason. So I put him right around the 16, 17 range, but that whole group there is kind of fluid for me. I think I would take him over Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, maybe. I don't know. That whole group there between 14 and 20 is like a tier almost, you know, and Drake's right in the middle of it. So he's a hard one for me. Like you said, the size, the contested catchability, I liked what he was doing on shorter passes after the catch. So, yeah, he showed a lot of really good things this year, and he's just been a monster, a guy that Ray Garvin loves a lot. So obviously I have a little bit more respect for him there too. So, but he's just right in that group there that's kind of fluid. So,
yeah, I think this, you know, this prospect, Drake London, is going to be a little more controversial, as far as you're going to see some really different takes. Like you said, Ray Garvin loves him. I know Kane Facel loves him. I haven't been as high on him, but it's really hard to ignore the production and just the plays that he consistently made. It wasn't like, you know, he flashed a couple of games. It was almost every single game. I have him about in the same spot. You know, like you said, there's a few guys above him that I would move down, you know, Hopkins for sure, you know, McLaurin, even a few spots. And there's a few guys below that I personally have higher. Deontay Johnson at 20. I have him higher than 20. Devonta Smith at 22 is much higher for me as well. So I think, you know, that averages out, and you're looking like you said, that spot where Debo, Godwin, and Higgins are 15 through 17. I can't put them above them for sure. Keenan Allen, you know, if he were a couple years younger, I wouldn't put him above there, but that's about right, because, you know, Keenan's, you know, I think what, 29. So it's starting to become a, you know, at least a thing. I mean, you know, you hit 30 at wide receiver, you know, things happen. So, but I put him ahead of Calvin Ridley and definitely Jerry Jeudy. Everyone else seems to think Jerry Jeudy is this massive star, but I need to see more. He just, and he's falling into the bad quarterback demons, but hopefully that figures itself out. All right. The last rookie we're going to talk about, Garrett Wilson's college teammate, Chris Olave, Ohio State. Another one I think you're going to see a lot of differing opinions on. I put him on here because of that, and because there's a couple guys that might go first round that we don't know if they're going to actually make themselves available. Of course, the unfortunate championship game injury to Williams was just terrible to see. Hopefully Jameson Williams can recover soon. But back to Chris Olave, you know, where do you have him, and how do you feel about him as a prospect?
Yeah, like you said, my opinion with him is even different. Sometimes I see a really good receiver that is going to be a game changer, and sometimes I just see a good receiver. You know, like, I think he's a very natural receiver. I love his hands. He's very fluid. But he also doesn't – he seems like he just kind of – like, he doesn't pop when I watch him on tape sometimes. You know, he's got good acceleration. He gets good separation, and – with that acceleration and body control, smooth movements, but there's times where he just seems like he's just a good receiver. You know, so I put him right around the 19-20 range. I think I still like him over the old guys like Keenan Allen. But I think I would rather have, you know, Ridley, Higgins, Godwin again, Deontay, maybe Devontae Smith over him. I still don't really love the Philly spot for him, but Olave's, I struggle. I go back and forth with him. Sometimes he's my wide receiver 4. Sometimes he's my wide receiver 7. So I just, he's for me, it's the same with him as it is with David Bell. I think they're both going to be very good receivers in the NFL, but I don't know if they're going to be anything more than just a good wide receiver 2, you know? So I kind of flip flop. I definitely, a landing spot's going to be key with him. So.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I'm definitely one of those analysts that likes Olave probably more than a lot of people. You use the word, you know, smooth, and that's the word that I key on with him. And every time I watch him, it's just so smooth, and he's got, you know, deceptive speed. I'm very interested to see what he measures at there, because I think he plays fast. He can get deep. You know, he had, you know, 12, 7, and 13 touchdowns in his last 3 years at Ohio State. Surprised a few people by staying for his senior year, but I honestly don't think that that's going to hurt his draft stock. I'm not necessarily sure it helped, but, you know, for whatever reason, he went back. But, you know, he just a significant part of a massive offense with a ton of depth at wide receiver. I'm a huge fan, and I'm going to have him, you know, right there with London right after that Debo, Godwin, Higgins tier. And, you know, if the landing spot is right, you know, if you know, those two guys could really be dependent on, you know, what team, you know, what quarterback is throwing them the ball. Because like you said, you know, Devonta Smith is lower because he's in Philly, and, you know, that just the passing isn't great. If you look at the stats, he has deceptively good stats for, I think, the perception that we both have is like, yeah, the passing game in Philly is not good. And we want to see that improve, because then you realize just how amazing he could be. And plus, you know, we're dealing with Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle, so Smith's kind of just off in the shadows. But yeah, I like Olave a lot, and I think, you know, I think his floor is a really good wide receiver 2 for a team, and I think he can be a wide receiver 2 in fantasy. So I'm excited about Olave quite a bit. So I've got him up there. Let's move into the Devy
wide receiver. He's pretty safe too.
Yeah, I think so, man. Oh, love watching him play. Yeah. And we're not done with Ohio State wide receivers, of course. But the first guy on the list at LSU is Boutte, 2023 eligible. He has been the Devy wide receiver one for, well, I mean, for sure since we've removed the 2022 eligible, but a lot of people had him number one, you know, sooner than that. Kayshon Boutte, yeah. LSU. Now you're starting to hear some other people talk about he might not quite be the number one. Of course, recency bias coming into effect with our next guy. But where do you have Kayshon Boutte, who has been excellent since he first really started playing for LSU?
Got him at one, baby. One. No, I'm just kidding. I have him. I actually have him at seven, right, or eight, right behind Diggs. I like him more than I like Metcalf, Cup, Moore, McLaurin. As far as the long-term prospects, I think what Boutte is going to do when he gets in the league, I think is not going to matter what team he's on. I like his speed. He's so electric after the catch. His acceleration, his feet are insanely fast. The burst he gets off the line. Another guy who's really fluid, not afraid to go over the middle. I mean, just almost everything you want out of a wide receiver, he does it. I mean, the hands, the ball tracking, he's got a second gear. He gets to it. Like when he does this like loping thing in first, then he hits that second gear and he's just gone. I can't say enough good things about him. I understand the JSN love, and JSN is not far behind, but Boutte is I think he's going to be a truly difference maker once he gets the league. So I have no problem putting him right there after Diggs before Metcalf.
Yeah. I've got him ahead of Metcalf, who's sitting at number eight, and you can start to kind of play this out, you know, value-wise a year from now. So let's just say, you know, another season goes by. So, you know, Tyreek Hill gets a year older, you know, Devontae Adams, who knows what's going to happen. Is he still in Green Bay? Is he still with Aaron Rodgers? And CeeDee Lamb, you know, not the kind of season that you want to see out of CeeDee Lamb, you know, despite being a great offense with a great quarterback. I mean, he was not a wide receiver one. If that happens again, now you're talking, I mean, he could, you know, or AJ Brown too is sitting number four. You know, what does he do? You mean you could almost see him moving into the top three right away. Like
I was gonna say, if I'm rebuilding, I would trade Adams for Boutte straight up. I don't care. I would do that. I would trade Diggs straight up for him. I would probably trade Tyreek straight up for him. Like, I think he's that good. And if I'm rebuilding and I can wait on it, especially if it's a C2C, I mean, definitely. I have no problem. I think I would still rather have, obviously, Jefferson, Chase, probably Brown. I'd still love Lamb. I think he's going to be up there. But, yeah, I'd have no problem trading those older guys, you know, the 28, 29-year-old. I think Hill's, what, 26, 27? So I'd have no problem trading those straight up. I would definitely try to get a little bit more. But I would trading straight up.
I would think you'd be able to get more, especially, you know, as you're getting close to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, if your league unfortunately has a trade deadline, then, you know, before that, but I'm an anti-trade deadline guy in Dynasty. But anyway, I don't need to open up that can of worms.
I'm getting there. I'm slowly getting there.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So yeah, I think he's that good. And like I'm not going to repeat everything you said, because I agree with all of it. He's such a dynamic player that I think he's going to come in and be amazing right from the word go. You tease the next guy, also 2023 eligible from Ohio State, JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. If people were sleeping on him, they aren't now. I mean, the Rose Bowl, definitely, you know, woke them up, but really people should have paid more attention as the season went on, because he was doing things that was drawing, you know, the attention of analysts, and people loved how highly rated he was coming out of high school. I was one of those guys. He didn't do much his freshman season, but you know, the lesson there is, you know, when you've got a deep wide receiver room, there's really no pressure for those colleges to play a true freshman. And he flashed a little. I mean, he scored a sweet touchdown his freshman season. And then all of a sudden this year, as the number three guy, just completely blows up. And then look what happens when both Wilson and Olave weren't in the Rose Bowl. I mean, over 300 yards. It was just insane. He's, you know, if Boutte's 1A, he's 1B. They're on the same tier for me. I've got him, you know, way up there as well. Maybe not quite as high as Boutte, but he's over Metcalf for me is where I've got him. How about you?
Right. Same exact area. I want to say, yeah, JSN was their leading receiver this year. That's I thought he was, like, in yardage, catches, not in touchdowns, but he was. And you never heard anything about him hardly all season. But he is, yeah, right there. I put him at 9-10. I would take him before. I would take Metcalf over him, probably not Cup just because of the age. But once again, those trades that I alluded to with Boutte, I would do every one of them with JSN as well. He's almost the same exact skill set too. They're both another natural hand catcher. He makes people miss. He's so, so dangerous in the open field. And just big plays is the name of his game. But he's also a very refined route runner, always where he's supposed to be, you know? So that's what you like to see from a receiver. So just not quite as explosive as Boutte, not quite as elite of a prospect, but just a sliver below. So I would put him right about 9-10 range.
Yeah. For those of you wondering, cause you are right. He led the team in receptions and yards. If you take away the monster Rose Bowl game, he still led the team in receptions and yards. So it's not because of that. Yeah. I mean, he over 1600 yards and Wilson had, you know, a 1058. So yeah, it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal season for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. We've got him firmly planted in the top 10. The next guy on the list, true freshman at Texas, Xavier Worthy, not eligible till 2024. So you got to be a little more patient. Where do you have Worthy?
Worthy I have, I'm going to put him down in that 17, 18 range because I still want to see it a little bit more. Being a freshman, I have to knock him down a little bit. But I still think I'd rather have, you know, the Debo, the Godwin, the Higgins, ones we talked about before, everybody above that. But I mean, another big year like this. Now he's got Quinn Ewers throwing to him. I mean, he's got the potential to be right up there, you know, in the up near 8, 9, 10 with another huge season. A guy that's just explosive, incredibly quick, dangerous, also runs really well, really good routes, and another natural hand caster. I say the same thing about all these prospects, but they're all showing a lot of the same attributes that we really like. So Worthy was just hell of impressive. Been kind of interested to see what he would have done on Michigan, but although I'm kind of glad he got away from Michigan because Michigan does not tend to use players that dynamic as well as they should.
Right.
So he's a guy that I'm really hopeful for to climb up that ladder, but right now he's still, you know, right down 17, 18 range for me.
Yeah. I love the big play ability, but he also, you know, caught a lot of passes, 63 balls, just under 1,000 yards. And like you said, now he gets the quarterback talent bump with Quinn Ewers. So his value is going to increase. I mean, if you want him, you're going to have to figure out a way to get him now because it's not going to go down barring, you know, something catastrophic like an injury. But even then, you know, in your second season, he can probably just, you know, you can wait that out and he'll be just fine. Even, you know, if he I'm not even going to say it, but even if he got injured, we'll just leave it at that. I like him a lot. I mean, he's not, you know, because of the year difference that does matter. So, you know, down there in the, you know, 18 range after that familiar place that we talked about before. And I really think for, you know, Devy managers out there, depending on the depth of your league, depending on how many years your league has existed, he might be one of those guys that's available. So you're going to come into your Devy drafts. Right. Whenever you have them and he's sitting there and I don't remember because I'd have to, I don't have it up in front of me, but one of my leagues, I did, you know, kind of that analysis of, all right, who are the top Devy guys left from we get to our draft. And he was one of the top names. Like he could legitimately go, you know, in the top two or three picks for guys that weren't taken. Right. I mean, so that's something where I think, you know, you need to be mindful of that if he's available, again, depending on the depth of your league, you might have to go out and acquire a high enough pick to get him because he's not going to last. The league I'm talking about is entering its fourth Devy draft, and we have a 12-team league with three rounds of Devy. So each year we're taking 36 guys out of the pool. And of course, every year you have to go deeper and deeper, and you just see more and more true freshmen. But he was not one of the true freshmen taken. So something to think about out there for those of you looking to acquire Xavier Worthy from Texas. Next guy, Rakeem Jarrett, Maryland, 2023 eligible. I like Jarrett, and I think nobody talks about him because he's with Maryland. And a sneaky better season than I think what people might think. But now we're definitely starting to get down to those levels where it's not as much of a sure thing. How about you? What do you think?
Right. Yeah. The last four or five guys here, I have beyond the top 24, but not far off, even though I like things about all of them. Jarrett was that guy that was really highly regarded coming in. And we did finally start to see it this last season. Like you said, he's got a lot of things. Also the bigger receiver, you know, really good at jump balls, you know, sidelines, great hands, but he just hasn't really shown any sort of consistency, even though that offense has at times been very potent. He, for some reason, was not as big of a part of it as you'd hope to be. So I still want to see another good season from him, but he's outside of that top 24, like pretty easily for me. But
yep, I would agree. I mean, he did, like you said, you know, moved up to 62 catches, 829 yards, just five touchdowns. So a big jump from the 17 catches in his freshman season. If he can take that next step, you know, get up hopefully around 80 catches, get over 1,000 yards, and just a few more big plays, a few more explosive plays, I think is what I'd like to see. But yeah, he is outside that top 24. Right. But a nice piece, right? I mean, I think you'll be happy. You got day two draft capital probably written all over him. Next guy, also in 2023, Quentin Johnston. This guy does have a little more big play potential. Where do you have him on this list?
Yeah, I have him just slightly above Jarrett, but also outside of that top 24. I do like you said, he's shown a little bit more, but I worry about his all-around skill set. I think he's just going to be an outside guy that is he's not a dying breed, but he's definitely not as prominent of a breed as it used to be. You know, I know it sounds terrible, but you know, some guys like DK Metcalf and Treylon Burks will excel while being in that role. I don't know if Quentin Johnston is that good of an athlete to do that at that level. Like I think he's going to be a good outside receiver. I like his length, his hands, his, you know, his ability to track the ball, but I'm not quite sure he's going to be super successful in the NFL. Kind of hesitant.
Yeah. He's a tougher guy, you know, at TCU because he just doesn't get the volume. He's not in the high passing attack. I mean, just 33 catches this year, but 612 yards. So he averaged 22 yards as a freshman, 18 and a half as a sophomore. So the big play ability is absolutely there.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you know, an outside receiver, you know, watching some film with him, broke down film about a year ago with the guys over at the Devy dashboard. And what we were able to pick out is he uses his speed well, he uses his ability to sell that the deeper pass and then, you know, kind of come back and, you know, he has immediate separation because they're worried about him beating him deep. But you know, needs to work a little bit more on that, those other routes, right? I mean, you know, going across the middle, creating that separation on slants and stuff. So, you know, this was a year ago. So admittedly, but I still like him. He's not in my top, you know, 24 when you compare him to those guys, but one season, you know, the value could go up for sure. Because I think, you know, people might be a little more quiet on Johnston out of TCU. All right, the next guy is Marvin Mims. I believe he's still at Oklahoma. It feels like the
only one left.
Right, the mass exodus has been absurd, but he's still there. He's 20.
I picture him on the field in one of those like those tumbleweeds going across the field. He's like, "Where'd all my team go?"
Yeah, he's got his arms up like where'd everybody go? So Just crazy. He's had a couple of solid seasons. He's a big play threat. You know, I think just honestly, I think just the fact that he's still at Oklahoma, his value is going to drop. People are going to kind of forget about him because, you know, now he doesn't have Caleb Williams. He doesn't have the talent around him, different coach. So you might be able to, you know, if you like Marvin Mims, he's not huge, you know, 5'11", 177, but he's not tiny either. He's not down there on 155 pounds. So you might be able to get him fairly cheap and might be a decent buy because he's got some skills that I think NFL teams will like. You know, what do you think about him as an NFL prospect?
I actually think that the move might be really good for him. Dylan Gabriel is the type of quarterback that can unlock somebody like Marvin Mims. He's still outside my top 25, but what we saw in flashes at Oklahoma, I think Gabriel is going to lean on him like crazy. And I think he could be in for just a monstrous, monstrous season. So if they're willing to unlock that offense, which I assume going and getting a guy like Gabriel is going to do, you know, I don't think they're going to bring him in there just to dink and dunk and not try to get the ball downfield. So Mims, I like his size. His play speed is really, really fast. He's also a guy that, you know, has that, the vertical, you know, the splash plays, the ability to break the screens into long plays. So it's just a very much more athletic guy than Quentin Johnston. So I think that Mims is in for a huge rise this season, but he's still just outside my top 25.
All right. So there you go. Huge rise means get him now. Don't wait. Otherwise you're going to be too late. Two guys left, yes. Both 2023 eligible. One of my favorites, Jordan Addison, coming at you from Pittsburgh, had a monstrous season this year. 100 catches, 1,593 yards, and 17 touchdowns. You know, the value already went through the roof on Jordan Addison. I can't imagine him increasing any more than that. So it's probably too late, although, again, if people weren't paying attention to his nice freshman season, or they thought, "Oh, he's at Pittsburgh. Who cares about Pittsburgh?" This is a nice find because, man, he is a complete wide receiver in my opinion, and I like him better than at least a couple of guys that we've already talked about.
Absolutely, yeah. See, now both of these guys creep up in near that 20 range for me. They're both probably still really close to being outside of the list, but I like both of these guys quite a bit. Like you said, Jordan Addison, I can see him having a Cooper type of role in the NFL. He's such a good receiver, like as far as possession, but he's also available. He also can make that big play. I think I'm just going to go into the next guy. Josh Downs is a little bit more of a burner, but he also, you know, and it has the more of a slot. I think Addison's probably going to get put in the slot too, which isn't obviously not a death sentence anymore, but yeah, I'm curious to see where he's going to fall in the NFL. I think he could have like a Cooper Kupp type role.
Yeah, I like Jordan Addison, you know, so much, and I've got him ahead of Mims. I've got him ahead of Johnson. I got ahead of Jarrett, and he, you know, so he's up there closer to, you know, Xavier Worthy for me. And I like the comparison where he can be that wide receiver that, you know, a Cooper type where he just does everything really well. And he's reliable, and he's constantly getting targets. You know, Keenan Allen's another guy like that. Whereas the last guy, you brought him up, you know, Josh Downs, North Carolina, everybody was wondering who's Sam Howell going to throw to this year because he lost his top two guys. And Josh Downs said, "All right, first you're going to throw to me, and then second you're going to throw to me, and then third, if no one else is open, you're going to throw to me," because 101 catches, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean, yeah, just in constantly making good plays. I like Downs a lot. Again, more than, you know, I think I like him more than Mims. So he's up there, you know, even ahead of Johnson as far as a more complete wide receiver, you know, 5'10", 180. So it's not, doesn't have, you know, that, right, that 6 foot frame, but we're seeing more and more NFL franchises kind of get away from that. Like they don't care as much. So that doesn't concern me as it would have if we'd have had this conversation a couple of years ago.
Right. He will get pigeonholed in the slot, but I like the work he does outside too. I mean, he gets separation and he's able to hold his own against bigger corners and things like that. So I think he will not be in the outside as much, but man, he's just electric. I don't know how many times you just see some dude streaking down the field with the ball and it was downs. I mean, he was always open. You know, just one of those guys that if you watch the tape, you watch the all 22, he's always freaking open. Like, it's just crazy. I like him a lot.
All right.
We run ourselves out of time for trades again.
You know what? I'm going to throw one in just because it's a wide receiver one, and I can't help myself. I have to. And I don't know the exact timing of this, but it was Marvin Harrison Jr., another Ohio State prospect for Jermaine Burton out of Georgia, right? Yeah. And Talia Tungavaiola.
Yeah.
So super flex league. And for me, this would have been a little bit harder of a decision before the Rose Bowl, but I still think I would have leaned towards Harrison Jr. Now, when you get the idea that, okay, this guy's already flashed in his freshman season, he's going to come in next year and, you know, probably push to be one of the top, you know, two or three on the team. You know, JSN's number one, and then it's whoever steps up. I think the value, and this is why I want to get to this trade before we sign off. I think Marvin Harrison Jr.'s value has already started to increase, and it's going to skyrocket next year.
Yep, I'm in the same exact boat, man. I don't trust Burton. I don't trust that Georgia offense to give him what he needs to be successful. So it's Harrison Jr., right? I can't wait till the trade show, though, because I'm looking at that next trade. I'm like, ooh, man, I want to talk about that one. Anyway, all right. So we'll get that next week. Next week, we got tight ends. We'll definitely have time after that, right?
I was just going to say that, man. We're already on the same page. I love it. All right. Well, listeners, thank you so much.
I read your mind.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Devy Show presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back next week with more Devy Show, but be sure to tune in to hear from our friends on the Draft Seminar, the Mock Draft Show, the Dynasty Draft Room, and the Prospect Profits. For Dwight, I am Skip. Everyone have a fantastic weekend and evening. Take care, everyone.